Sind wieder da, ihr seid wieder da, der Saal ist wieder voll. Wir fühlen uns langsam wie die zwei alten Herren in der Muppet Show.
It's starting. We are saying that they feel like the two old gentlemen from the Muppets. Perhaps next year they could build a nice cushioned balcony. So they want a cushioned balcony. They're requesting the decor team to build that in front of their stage. We've noticed during the research last year that this is the 10th time that they're presenting on Security Nightmares. Lots of applause. And that next year, that means they can introduce the rubric 10 years ago. It's very amusing, but we need to find the slides. And there's been a certain problem in finding the slides and finding the data from 10 years ago. So they're asking if anyone's got any photos or videos from the presentation they gave 10 years ago. By this opportunity, they wanted to ask how many people have seen all the talks, all the Security Nightmares talks until now. There's maybe 50 hands going up at a very rough guess.
Und was davon erinnert ihr noch?
And what do you remember from them?
Ich meine, können wir jetzt die Witze recyceln?
Can we recycle the jokes or not? Without danger, they think. There's no danger. And how many people have been here 5 times? Probably about as many people again. Not that many more. For diehards. Diehards who are always there. For how many people it's the first time? My hand would have to go up here, and that's definitely a majority in the room.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Nächstes Jahr dann die vor 10 Jahren Rubrik oder vielleicht machen wir es ganz krass.
Go section or we'll do it in English or something. Why do we do the security nightmares? Just like every year we want to talk about security nightmares we would like to see because they might change something. Those we would not like to see because, well, we'd rather not. And basically we would like... Sorry?
Ah. Das Geräusch kenne ich jetzt auch, dazu habe ich direkten Bezug jetzt.
Du meinst, so ändern sich die Security Nightmares mit dem Alter?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that one in German, so I can't translate it.
Naja, ich meine,
okay, well, I think in IT we are used to, if architectures aren't good and input doesn't work, then we format the disk and start from the beginning. With neural networks, it isn't that easy. This was about a baby losing. Let's do that. Okay, first, of course. We're looking back and we'll see which of our predictions came true the last year or the ones before. So let's start. Of course, we have that nice section, e-government. Lots of things were happening there. It's getting more and more. We started a few years ago and said e-government can be recognized by how much data is lost by a government each year.
And
you could then easily see that the UK was far in front or lost in the front. But meanwhile, of course, there's so much e-government that you'd have to take a much wider view at that. For example, lawful interception infrastructure.
Interception, ab jetzt eigentlich nur noch konsequent in Anführungszeichen setzen.
Of course, these days the word lawful has to be put into quotes each time because it just changes with each circumstances, and it's quite clear why the word lawful interceptions should be put in quotes. But why did we put Iran in quotes as well? Not because we think they're going the same way as the GDR. where the Springer publishers did the same with using quotes all the time, denying their legitimacy. But the interesting thing about the Iran lawful interception bashing is we've seen nice pictures from Andy about the negative press that the companies involved got. The thing about that is not, well, the nice thing about it was that finally you could be bashing lawful interception and everyone was on your side, on the right side. Because we were talking about one of those rogue states, of course. But actually, you do have to put Iran into quotes because every state has something. Because we were actually talking about all of ourselves and bashing ourselves, and it's just us that know that. That's just like the difference between freedom fighter and terrorist. One person's rogue state is the other person's lawful interceptor.
Yeah.
Another database that we did put a call out to bring glasses used by politicians. We were collecting fingerprints. This is a section in our magazine that we would like to continue. And meanwhile, we've come to the conclusion that the way that our government behaves in this project, we will probably be able to match the fingerprints we get that way with those in the database. We are looking forward to the results. But in the end, the saying that we've established, how is this and that person? Well, he didn't look after his glass very well. Well, it's kind of obsolete now because now we have the databases. The Data Protection Commissioner from the state of Schleswig-Holstein did some research and found some major flaws in security. But of course, these days, politicians could be clicking on our website too and make their own fake fingerprints. We don't know. We might get some surprises there. Exactly.
March or in April, something from the BKA that they said that they did not do any online searches at all. So approximately at the same time, the BND, the German Secret Services, said they did approximately 90 searches, online searches, in foreign countries. So there were some other countries who were doing this. For example, China, they had numbers in the 100,000s of online searches. Yes, this is an important hint. They also got the numbers up by the number of computers that were searched. Increased due to the number of computers from the government that were searched. The decentralized surveillance of computers from foreign countries. So it's better if you read the stuff that your government does in foreign newspapers than if you don't read them at all. But we always want that our government will be very transparent. But actually, China seems to be better than we in building a transparent government, but it's just not their own government. So we were also been talking about filter infrastructures and data saving infrastructures. So we said that's probably just a sport. No URLs are just traded that are not available on anywhere anyway.
There's a question from the floor. There's a question from the floor about the investments of the Schwarzer Kanal. And the intervention is supporting searches being carried out from abroad because it allows increased transparency. Frank's talking about filters.
Nee, aber das kommt noch, da bin ich fest von überzeugt.
Du meinst, ich stelle nach einem Jahr fest, es war nichts, und dann
and he thinks that perhaps after a year they'll realize that it wasn't anything, but this tendency of blaming the neighbor, and then they're talking about swatting in the US, in which people make phone calls as if they are their neighbor, pretending to be their neighbor.
And then you
switch off the light, sit at the window and take the stopwatch and hold the stopwatch in your hand. And there's another game that works in Germany. That's open wireless networks. And the example in Germany was in Recklinghausen, and this game heißt not swatting but stopping. So the Gesundheitskarte, the health insurance card, is in its on its last it's taking its last breaths at the moment. Applause.
This is a case where our prediction actually came true, that when the government is trying to build really complex systems, that whole thing fails in the end. So it didn't feel like we had to do that much. Well, okay. Some people did quite a lot, but overall, it was quite interesting to watch. It was kind of like a black hole that collapses under its own gravitation.
Yeah.
So the astonishing or new thing for me too was that since 2006, interesting things had been built into mobile phones. Harald's talk featured this too. This was based on the requirements of or for 2006 emergency 9/11 in the US for an emergency call infrastructure. The requirement that a phone should be able to report its own position. And the way this was implemented was that the phone did not have a GPS receiver, did not have to have one. It would be better if it did, but it didn't have to. The baseband was reconfigured and works as some kind of GPS receiver, not as well, but together with the GSM triangulation data, you had a pretty good information about a phone's location. And the surprising thing is that the network can trigger this on a fairly deep protocol level. The applications on the phone have nothing to do with this. So the phone user can't actually ask himself where he is. No, the network does it. Surely this is going to be introduced here as well. Or is it? Has it been introduced already? The telephones have it built in, but it's not a requirement that emergency calls actually involve transmission of that data. This year is an important point because actually pretty much all phones you can buy these days have this function built in. So don't be under the illusion that this is a US-only thing and we have nothing to do with it. It is built into our phones, and the thing to be researched in 2010 is whether this function is going to be used in German phone networks or not. Because fortunately we have that function now. When is it going to be used?
Ja, dann so, zum Thema e-government gab's ja
about e-government, there were a number of very nice quotes. When in the White House the administration was changing, weeks after, there were some really sinister bashing quotations about the IT of the Bush administration and how sad it all was, all old school and 8-bits or I don't know, teletexts without computers, without internet, not filtered or anything. That was the one thing. And just recently we heard that emails had been found from the time of the Bush administration, a few million, 20 million. They found them again. And the new government, of course, is now stepping up IT. And what does that mean? If even with their fossil infrastructure, they left 20 million emails behind, how many will be left behind if the IT infrastructure with mobile devices and all that will actually be in place? So we're looking forward to that. Well, we just think that the transparency will be brought forward quite a bit. The new government will just be able to lose things much better than the old one. It doesn't have to go through the copier anymore. And with that background, we have a lot of hope for the members of the new federal government in Germany, because increasingly they are able to use their own email, and that gives us much hope about transparency. The thing is that information is a bit like water. It flows and seeps through cracks, and the better it flows, the more fun we will have. It just takes a bit more time in some cases. Okay, that leads us to the next topic, or the one after.
One of the nicest stories that we couldn't foresee, but that was very interesting, was that the Predator drones that the U.S. used in Iraq, they had a video downlink, and that one was not encrypted. So it was very easy to just listen to the streams just with a simple settling. This is one of the reasons why they are not going down from all the heights. So we were asked, why aren't you encrypting those data? So the drones just send data to many people. And so there are a lot of receivers, and coordinating all those receivers from different countries and different people and distribute the encryption keys to all those people proved to be very hard. So there were a lot of people who were supposed to receive the stream, but they couldn't because they didn't have the key. And then they just said, well, you know, just forget about the encryption. It even saves power and weight on the drone, and then we send the data unencrypted, because we are fighting against people who don't know how to work with this technology anyway. But at least the control channel is encrypted, because there are only two parties who actually need to have the key, just the people who need to start the drone, which is no problem, because if they don't have the key, the drone won't just start anyway. And the other people are those that control the drone in flight from satellites. Interesting, so the military obviously is not able to manage their own encryption keys. The next thing was the WikiLeaks story and the thing with pagers on 9/11. So why did they use unencrypted pagers in 2001? And the answer is probably that US is a big country with a lot of area, and their technology is not very advanced. They didn't even understand text messages. Doesn't necessarily mean that they stopped in development. So in Austria, there's a new modern system, how was it called? Tetra. They switched to Tetra. This is a digital transmission system for agencies. And they introduced the system because of security concerns, so nobody could eavesdrop on the transmissions. So, but unfortunately, they ran out of money and they couldn't buy new good pagers, and thus they just used the old network that did have encryption, but only optionally, and that wasn't implemented widely. So they got one of the old pagers and got told, well, you know, just start the digital service. The emergency services do get a transmission about where they're going and what's happening there. And some people, this data can also be used for other kinds of information. For example, 2533 is the code for drug abuse.
For cocaine poisoning. And we can argue as to whether the party's just beginning or if it's already finished at that point. But there are fetishes for such parties. We need to hurry up a bit. In India, India is becoming one of the most surveillance capitals of the world, trying to survey over 1.1 billion citizens, building surveillance systems of lots of different sorts. What can go wrong with such a thing? And now the UK is introducing its own cybersecurity strategy. It's even been published. You can find the PDF in the internet. Lots of have fun reading it. And they've imprisoned the first people this year and not last year or the year before for refusing to give out their passphrases. The law was changed, they claim, 6 years ago. That's actually not true. It's the RIP Act, Reaper, and that when one doesn't give out one's password, one can end up in prison. So be careful when traveling to England. The next category. The next category, we weren't sure whether simply to carry on with e-government, but these categories could have come under the same category. Next year, they're not going to be separated from one another. This category is about data crime. So we've got the examples of telecom, the railways, and the post office here in Germany, all well-known brands whose means of dealing with data are thoroughly trusted, absolutely wonderful, and we'd like to see some applause for the employees of the Postbank who phoned the Consumer Association in Germany. And read them their statement over the previous weeks. Because as long as we don't have the necessary regulation, namely that the CEO needs to be imprisoned if there's a problem, that is to say personal liability for data crimes, for misuse of data. While we don't have that, this is what we're going to do. And so a round of applause for the employee who did this. And this would only happen if we were in a position to be able really, really, really to get off our asses, according to which the CEOs personally would be liable for such crimes. There are other areas in which this is true and which this is the case, and it would be great if it were also the case in terms of data crime.
Question from the audience. Of course, the post service is involved in this somehow as well. They are playing with data, don't they? Aren't they? They were sending out an ad letter, ask us which advertisements you want and we'll make sure you get them. And allegedly, the addresses will not be given out. you do know, of course, that we are reliable, set this letter, and that was kind of funny. Fantastic fail. They probably thought if Google does personalized ads, that's that we should do as well. So until then, we rely on people with civil courage calling someone somewhere. The second demand we have is the data letter. We would like every company, every state institution to tell everyone whom they have data about, to tell them what data they have and who they pass that data on to. And in the case of we've given those to the US, we'd rather have a list of the actual services that they receive, that receive the data. An international data letter has just been suggested from the audience. Yes, that is what we need these days, isn't it? Yes, probably right. Well, it seems probably freedom of information is a tool to get further than that. And further than in the US gets you further than actually trying to get the data from a German bank here. Flight passenger data and SWIFT data sharing across borders does mean that we probably need this letter internationally. Can someone pass the mic to Volker, supposedly someone in the audience?
Yeah, zum Thema Epic Fail.
About Epic Fail, flight passenger data leads me to an anecdote that happened to a personal friend of mine. I don't want to mention his name here, but he has an exotic name such as Helmut Müller, a very regular German name, in fact. This Helmut Müller was mentioned to the authorities, and the Spanish police tried to find him, didn't find him where he was registered, which led to him being searched with an international arrest warrant. And I should mention also, this is about a small fraud case. He was searched with an international arrest warrant, and which is funny also because at that time, he was being searched across three years. He traveled across Europe from Spain to Switzerland, Germany, Austria, and so on by plane all the time. This is a true story. Now, in the end, the international arrest warrant made sure that this Helmut Müller was searched in Germany as well. He has a German-sounding name, and the police in Hamburg thought that they might just arrest the Helmut Müller they found there, found someone of the same name. This is really true. They entered his flat, his apartment, and got him out in front of his neighbors with some kind of SWAT team, I presume. He was arrested. Unfortunately, the wrong Helmut Müller, or fortunately, as the case may be. My friend still didn't know anything about this, but he got wind of this because his parents, who were living there as well, did, after many years, get a visit from the police, asking, well, do you perhaps know where your son is? Of course we know, they said. And the reason they hadn't found him was that the name contained an umlaut, a letter with a diuresis that doesn't occur in international alphabets.
Little Bobby Tables.
Conclusion. Until we have the data letter and personal liability by CEOs, it's obviously necessary that we need an emergency defense, digital emergency defense. So let us state again, it is completely legitimate to add data about yourself, false data about yourself, to databases. You can assume that this data will get lost, and the data that you will enter will get lost. So imagine what you want to see about yourself in those databases at the time it gets lost. Just the good things, but not too good. Remember that. Of course, we also had the election voting machine massacre, a nice pre-announced event, an election that was against the Constitution but still valid. This is the 2005 federal election that had a regulation about excess mandates, which is not fully compatible with the Constitution.
Well, we are waiting because DeWalt just got rid of the production of those computers, and now we are waiting for DeWalt to do the same. So now, very fast, on Heise there's one category, security, and they have a felt five articles per day about security issues, 2.5 times as many viruses as compared to last year. Every second website that delivers software is that delivers malware is a victim as well. Just from their usage patterns. What don't we have on this list here? Like OpenSSL? How many patches did Microsoft deliver? Just many more than usual. We have the category Superworms. There was Configure, very nice. Unbelievable numbers. 9 million systems were infected. This virus just rotated through domains. In the beginning, there were 250 domains per day that it visited to load new data. Finally, there were 50,000 a day. The interesting thing about this development is that many, many offline systems were infected. So in the past, people said, well, offline systems are more or less secret, and now they added to the definition, well, just as long as nobody puts a USB stick into the system. In the past, we said, okay, floppy disks are too small, and USB sticks just created a new standard for mass media, mass data storage, and this way, this is a new way of distributing viruses. So this is just getting better and better, because in the future, just every BIOS will be able to boot from USB.
There's an interesting anecdote about these superworms that was reported here, namely that antivirus companies are trying to hinder the updating of these updates because of the antivirus updates, because they thought that they themselves would be part of them, part of the viruses. These updates were encrypted, but not particularly well. So the antivirus company turns up and reverse engineers the update. The reverse engineering takes a day. They test it for 4 days and then they ship it, so it goes in a cycle of about a week. The update, the encryption, that's lasts a week. Update the crypto, everyone's happy. The worm authors are happy, they've got a week, and the antivirus companies are also happy because they get to, the customer's happy because they get a new update every week. So far, so good. So then they came across the idea to introduce proper crypto within every worm. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, let's see what happens. So everyone could live with the situation how it was. The worm authors had their week, the antivirus authors got their money, and the customer got its updates every week. It was a rhythm everyone could live with. The contrast is obvious. So they went back to the old system because it's worked really well. Widespread. The social engineering components of spam this year. Last year it was things like tax procedure, a tax case has been opened against you. Look at the PDF in the attachment. and it's this year taken on thoroughly new dimensions. So Lehman Brothers shares in PDFs attached as PDFs. Next year, we think it'll be your participation in a strike. When you strike, it's going to be registered. It's going to be registered. And then there are URLs in spam that says "Don't click on me," so people look for the forbidden fruit. In Iran, it was awfully graphic pictures. Don't click here, with Conficker on the other side. And what completely passed me by, that I only saw in the press, was a scareware and evil virus scanners, which pretend that they scan the hard drive to look for viruses and encourage the user to download new antivirus software, which is in fact downloading a virus. But of course, you won't have seen that because you'll have been using Adblock. So that is to say, Adblock is becoming a new security measure. It seriously protects the security of companies of users.
Social networks, another super topic. Everything will leak out sometime, the slide says. Okay, another social engineering spam I would like to mention to someone from the audience. These are lawyers threatening legal suits over spam. Yes, that's true, the podium replies. We've traced your accounts. You're a mafia member or something. Another spam content that's frequent. There's not much left then to continue from there. If even the German data protection authority have to warn against their own emails, which is quite realistic in a way, isn't it? Okay, social networks. Everything will leak out at some point. Hopefully everyone knows that. I don't know. The other thing is, everything is going to be used against you at earlier or later at some time. I think that a cultural change is coming towards us here, and the way it's done these days will not be able to continue, because the employer of tomorrow will not be able to employ anyone at all if they care about what they find in social networks. The interesting thing, of course, is in which way is this culture change going to go? Either you don't photograph your friends anymore while they're vomiting at a party, or it's completely all right if the internet contains such photos. Does anyone work in human resources here in the audience, and can they tell us if they have made that change? And they say, if I find a photo of someone applying for a job with me, if I don't find one of those photos vomiting on a sofa, then I will not employ them, because A, he doesn't have any friends, and second, yeah, that's just what I wanted to say. There was a comic in a German magazine recently where a boss has someone for an interview and says, well, we can't employ you. We have not a single drunk party photo of you on the internet. We haven't found any. So the first signs of cultural change are there. Comics, of course, lead the way. Who thinks that? Someone interrupting from the audience. Oh, the HR boss is too old, you can't find anything about him. Okay, who thinks that the culture change goes towards it being all right if those photos can be found in the personal file? Large number of hands showing up here. And who thinks that we will come to our senses and not picture anyone vomiting on the sofa? Again, many hands, but the podium says you're in the minority. It was about half and half. Maybe. Okay, well, the thing probably is it's very dependent on your cultural environment, isn't it? The thing is, of course, if I find photos of you in a state like that, then obviously you have the wrong friends. That is quite an important remark, isn't it? Because obviously you know people that, you know. So that's something we had last year. We had already announced this 5 years ago. There's this new job description, which we call e-lifestyle advisor. The industry calls it reputation service. What they do is they go and find those pictures of you on the net and try to remove them. That, of course, is the old school of things. The pictures have to go. In 5 years, it will be different. Where are pictures that we could put in?
Please enter your credit card number here, and then we remove all the images. Oh, your money transactions. Well, those people just clicked on the wrong porn, and then they wanted to remove those transactions. Just a short remark to the hacker tool paragraph. The Constitutional Court said, well, you can have it unless you do anything bad with it. So some more remarkable stuff. We just started 15 minutes earlier, so we have 15 more minutes to go in the end. Exactly 30 minutes to go. Felt half an hour. What we liked a lot was this SQL map that has several SQL injections on different systems that can be used, for example, to get a remote shell. It's that bad.
SQL Map ist ganz cool, aber die, ich glaube, es gab schon 2006 ein Buch, das hieß
The Mapping Program is cool, but there was a book in former times that already talked about this principle way before, and so probably other people noted this problem before, so that it can be used to read certain files. So the usability for things like this is always important, and this principle was implemented in some kind of tool. Loofcrack is back, if somebody remembers it. It has a very nice story, but we are not going to tell it right now. Does anyone here have a PS2 keyboard? A lot of people. Well, you are all victims. It's possible to eavesdrop the data that this keyboard transmits. While we are already talking about lockpicks, there's something like the ping of death from Cisco that was used by certain people to administrate their Windows installation. I think a database administrator just told this. He said, well, somebody has just opened a connection and he didn't know where this connection was coming from. He thought this is impossible, so he just killed the connection.
Cisco managed to implement it once more, but we need more than that, several IMCP packets to be able to manage that. We've got a session alpha. Poof. There's a survey. What do your neighbors' wireless networks look like? Everyone using WPA2, 5 gigahertz, or is that... How many people have an unencrypted wireless network in their neighborhood? There's a lot of hands, probably a third of hands in the room going up. And who has WP? Probably about as many again. And who's got a free channel on 2.4 gigahertz? That's maybe 10%. And by how many people is the number of wireless networks longer than the monitor? That's probably a third of people in the room. And do you think we're going to get full on 5 gigahertz wireless encryptions? Is the question being raised? Some neighbors' wireless networks have a religious message in the SSID. Jesus Lives, for example. They're now asking if anyone's got a political one. Secret World Order is one. Another one I haven't heard. None of us have heard it. There's some call-outs. Okay, there's a call out to put political content in the essays. We can hear you fucking has been used as one. We're laughing up here in the translation box. And there's lots of applause from the hall. Perhaps we should use that. And in that case, it really doesn't matter if it's true. I introduced it for a week to confuse my neighbours. Okay, they're not going to talk about SCK. Botnets. It was asserted that, we don't know if it can be verified, it was asserted that there was a Psybot with 80,000 drones. 80,000 drone routers. More is possible. And we're expecting other payloads. We want finally a Tor exit node, botnet. And a Tor exit node payload. I mean that entirely seriously. We need them when the revolution comes. Did you say revolution or evolution? I think you said revolution. Revolution. Quite seriously, the CPUs in wireless routers are becoming quicker and quicker, and there's a question of whether you need to have enough RAM to run a Tor exit node. So keyword for 2010... Who can guess?
Cloudy computing.
Cloudy computing. Cloudy computing. It's already starting. You can see with whom you're talking. The scans are coming from the cloud. Cracking, botnets as clouds. Cracking as a cloud service. Botnet command and control is in a cloud. So if you're buying a botnet with a stolen credit card in order to steal the next credit card, it's a long cycle. And if one continues it on an exponential scale, and botnets and cloud computing are in any case converging technologies, is an intervention from the floor.
Okay, exactly. Botnets, cloud computing, where's the difference exactly? Well, weren't the botnets there first? Well, okay, so we're dealing with the commercialization of technology. That's what we're having here. Yeah. In the cloud itself, of course, a lot of things are happening as well. We heard something about hypervisor rootkits that actually work in cloud services. To explain, there's a cloud service is nothing like a large computer, and then there are virtualization slices on there, which run their own system as if they were a computer by themselves. And if you can break the barrier between these computers by going via the memory controllers or CPUs of those computers, you can actually enter other people's computers, and normally. The security measures would not catch that. the rumors are thickening that things like that do happen. And the nice thing is that there are lots of things on there. You have one system and hundreds of computers that all work in the same way. Great. The thing is, but you don't get the same service level yet. If you go to a botnet operator and say, I'd like 1,000 credit cards, then I was told that you don't just get 1,000 credit cards, you get a service level called 1,000 credit cards and from which you can actually withdraw some money. So if the 999th credit card doesn't work anymore, you actually get some more numbers. Which reminds me of the bizarre story, of which I'm not sure if it's true, but I was told. Asians in Germany were trying to buy light bulbs, and the light bulb company, they negotiated with the light bulb company and said, we'd like a container full of bulbs, and the company said, fine, and 99.9% of those bulbs will work. And the Asians said, sorry, no, we want 100% functioning bulbs. And the company said, no, that doesn't work. Fabrication, manufacture reasons mean that only 99.9% will work. And so the Asians thought, okay, one container with 99.9% bulbs, but the broken ones we would like in an extra suitcase, please. And one of the problems appearing in that cloud context was such a computer, of course, only has a limited number of entropy sources to generate random numbers. The user cannot wiggle the mouse. Of course, it depends on the supplier. If enough entropy is there, for example, for seeding your open SSL, so there'll be interesting applications there. Maybe I can sell mouse minutes in the future as an entropy source. Entropy could be crowdsourced, couldn't it? Of course, you could just use the typos in captures. Okay, so you just put in a random number generator there, and so. Sorry, someone from the audience is interrupting. Oh no, the organizer's interrupting, reminding the audience to use the microphones for interruptions. Okay, one more thing in the cloud services is bad defaults. The defaults with which these systems are shipped can be quite interesting. You can have a lot of fun with those. Many systems use the same bad defaults. A lot of room for interesting things there. Also with network technologies, carrier Ethernet and things, it seems that many things are open there, but that's not all bad. That actually contains opportunities. When the revolution comes, of course, you have to talk to people that have the right domain suffix, are completely unsuspicious to talk with people having certain .com or endings. So if you have somewhere to hang your cloud deflector, then that's not all bad. And if you look a bit like Google for the dumb firewall, then hint, hint, have fun with the device. The electronic... interruption. One prediction about cloud computing. I believe that because planes are having more and more LANs on board, because that means that we'll have cloud computing in the literal sense soon. Does anyone have an update on that? Of course, wireless LANs have been switched off in planes, but they're said to be coming back. Another contribution. I have a question, says someone in the audience. How compatible is all what you're doing together here with the possibility of a worldwide revolution? We'll see when it comes. Yeah, the electronic identity card will be delivered in time for the next Congress. It will only be shipped in autumn of 2010 in Germany, and we'll see what the field trials will what results a few trials will have. And how will they be delivered? Hacked and frosted, or how? Fried? Fried. Toasted. What about the UK? UK, they had this huge introduction of biometric passports, and then someone with very little effort was able to change a few parameters on the document, including a line in which he could include, "I'm a terrorist, shoot me on sight."
Das ist britischer Humor.
This is British humor.
Don't try this here.
Don't try this here.
Ich hätte auch nur so zwei Stories hinzufügen.
I like to add two stories as well to this category of electronic identity cards. I've been as a journalist on a press conference for the Datenschleuder, and we had a look at the security system at the Frankfurt Airport, and it worked quite well. So two people just went through the security door right next to each other, and this worked perfectly. You'll find an article about this in the Datenschleuder. So if the people just trust all identity cards, then, well, we got as a press person a badge that was printed using a color printer, and it said something like airport police, and all the journalists had this identity. A friendly airport and friendly airport employee said, "Well, you don't need to go through all the security. There's an exit for the employees." At this point, I need to tell you that I talked to a person, and he said, "To the person is Patalun, and he is doing something to create a photo that you can create yourself, and afterwards you're an employee of nearly everything." Yet another remark concerning the identity card. I don't think they're gonna finish it on time, because those people are going to write specifications, and they write them again and again, and it's probably going to finish in 2 years. Well, if they are going to ship it for the next Congress, then they're going to have to speed up. The specification is somewhat greater, so they do have to hurry. But just something about the timing. Will it be valid for 10 years? Well, yes, that's what they say. Anyway, for too long. GSM did not receive a yes last year. Were we right? Well, it's broken enough so that it's already now not working really properly anymore. So it's a little bit frightening when people start with their own senders that you can fit in your pocket. Then we can recommend that everyone can update all their stuff fast. At least I wish that this is possible to update for next Christmas. We are going to update it for them. One of the things that we foresee for 2010, when we deal with data protection and environment protection. So one thing will be intelligent counters for electricity usage. The corresponding laws say that from 2010, you must have an intelligent device for counting electricity usage, or you can have one.
These are compulsory in new built houses unless one doesn't want one. Which is something I find completely okay and very interesting. It's the case that there is genuinely an opt-out because it's being introduced by the EU, and it's not there to combat electricity fraud as it was used in Italy, which was done very successfully with intelligent electricity meters and is being used in the US. But here it's the case of here it's about giving the user a genuine and accurate electricity bill so that the users can see that when their usage patterns change, that their bills change, therefore to increase the efficiency of the use of energy within Europe. What would be of great interest to me, and perhaps someone here knows, is that according to my understanding, the most electricity providers are very much in a pilot status. That is to say, if I phone on the 1st of January and say, yep, look, this is what the law says, I'm entitled to one, I need one, I believe I wouldn't get one. There's a question about the topic of intelligent electricity meters, that there's a positive side effect, namely that the few bytes that would that one can effectively get broadband internet for free, that one can effectively get broadband internet for free because of the bandwidth used by the intelligent electricity meter, which is far more than it actually uses. However, it's not the case that there is actually a duty imposed upon the electricity companies to introduce broadband over the electricity meters. Rather a 200 megabyte binary, which needs to be updated on occasion. And let us hope that they can do it. It's infrastructure. The old ones lasted for about 30 years, and let's see how long the new ones last. There's a study in the US, which is that they can't update the new intelligent meters. Other lovely examples, like IPv6. Wonderful, wonderful technology. What could possibly go wrong? A short update from the European neighbor country. The state electricity provider in France already has some working, many fewer, but they're already functioning and have been for some years. There's a short interruption, a message is being conveyed to the podium. What's interesting about these meters is the different levels of intelligence that they have, which is, so a monthly electricity bill is something good where you get a bill, an updated bill that's accurate, it doesn't sound bad. And also that you can see your electricity usage live, you can see when the washing machine goes on, when the lights get switched on, etc., etc. And that will, you can see what the HD video projector uses. Yeah, it's aha experiences. It's something we can see. You can see how much the different appliances use. But the question is, how much of that will be held within a cloud? How much data will be retained? And if that's necessarily necessary. Horrible sentence. I'm sorry. So the bearer of hope is the Blinkenlights quarter of the city, and something else about the interface between environment and data protection is the monitoring of vehicles. And this is something that will kill people, is the simplest thing we can say to the subject. It will kill people. It would only be, the only thing that would have been better would be children will die, would be the, kittens will die, would have been even more successful. But it will kill people, great. And the argument is completely coherent, because when it's introduced, people will go away from the motorways and onto the country roads, because which are less secure, and more people will therefore die.
All right, 2010 Adobe Flash. Of course, we don't have to say anything about that. Have fun at the device. And then, of course, computerization and all that is moving on, and nothing is standing still. So everyone's thinking about how things can get even faster, or how can things can be even better surveilled, monitored. And of course, there are questions such as, well, how could I do fraud detection better than before? And I'm sure there'll be interesting hiccups there. You surely noticed that in Germany they started, I'm not sure how many actually it became, but didn't they start to exchange 60,000 credit cards of people that were in Spain, had been in Spain, because allegedly in Spain some data had been lost, a database. But there's no detail that anyone knows, and after the first banks had started to exchange credit cards or to call back credit cards, everyone was then violently shying away and passing the buck and saying that the whole thing isn't as big, so there must be some kind of fraud detection that took place. And I'm sure there'll be more coming. Other things are completely crazy. High-frequency trading, the way that things get traded on stock exchanges these days, you just cannot imagine your regular shooter player says his, who gets told that your ping is too high, completely disappears in comparison. A new information was that the cable lengths had been limited between trading sites and computers. So if you convert that, it's not about milliseconds, but less than that. Everyone just gets 4 meters now, no matter how far your own server is away from that. And this is crazy, because you then get service providers using that and who plan that everyone should get high-frequency trading, by offering a platform on which you can put your own algorithms. That's the way I understood it. And their computers would then run those. So there are videos on YouTube of that. You can have a look, high-frequency trading, and see what crazy things that are there. This is gambling on the highest level. A gambling machine is nothing in comparison, but I'm sure the discussions will be the same. I can beat the system. If I do this and then click, and then I get the Joker. I don't know. I think these people should be smoked out. Exactly. Okay, now new business areas, a favored area, favored section. The first one we propose is the surveillance prevention advisor. Surveillance from the air. Well, actually, we are talking about Google watching you from the streets. We actually mean Google. surveillance of your social networking sites, we actually mean Google. Surveillance while you use your mobile phone, we do actually mean Google. And surveillance while you're on the device in general, but actually we mean Google. All right. Well, to prevent that, this person could, for example, place some handwritten robot TXT at your garden gate. Did you see that? Someone wrote a robot TXT and nailed it to the sign at the entrance of the city. Or it didn't work though. It was faulty. Another thing we need is account carers. People that look after your fifth, sixth account and see what will be helpful or hindering for your career. And for both of these, you need carers. You can't do this all yourself all the time, can you? So then rent a flash mob, another future field, online and offline. Then Fefe, you always ask, how could you make money with your blog? Rent a flash mob is our suggestion. I already do that online, says Fefe. Of course, the thing to do is to start making money from that. Yes, it has been tested. You just have to commercialize it and webinize it. Okay, which leads us to the federal botnets fighting carer. This is the guy that works at the federal botnets fighting hotline. You've seen the announcement that the federal authority is going to introduce a botnet fighting institution, but no one had heard of that before. So we had calls from ministries at the club asking, what is this? This was obviously had been created somewhere, and then the whole thing gained such a dynamic because nothing else was happening that some poor people will have to actually implement it. Just imagine a call center is going to be created with an 0800, a free number, presumably, and everyone with computer problems can call there. My internet's not working. I'm sure I've got a virus. Help me. And we were laughing when the SPD was talking about full employment.
I believe that this is going to be a Microsoft bailout since they didn't get any money from the financial support. So this is a way for Microsoft to bail out because you can disinfect Windows computers with other Windows computers. So there's a quote from this company. They said, I think they said, Windows customers that don't install all patches are playing Russian roulette. Weren't there some great ideas like inspection of payloads? Like you said, a Windows computer or a Linux computer has to connect to something, and it somehow must be possible to figure out what it's doing there. Well, who knows, perhaps they also open a site where you can upload suspicious files. That would be the bailout for hard disk manufacturers. Some new transports. A troll for discussions to delete articles. This is a species that is usually appears anonymously. Those are people who have been really stressed on their day, and they think, you know, what am I going to do to just get some distance from the day that I had? Well, the next thing is sock puppet player. So in the Wikipedia, that was not absolutely clear. And this is if one person has two accounts, one real account and a socket puppet account. So to really convince people of something, you just need plenty of accounts like that. Next thing is a mobile malware update. We've been talking for many, many years about cell phones as part of bot networks. Just like announced, Apple delivered. They have a mobile bot network with 20,000 users, people that jailbreaked iPhones and didn't set or change the default password, and they even did not disable their secure shell daemon, and these were plenty of people.
And then we could see at the time that it's a pre-taste. It's a taste of what's coming with IPv6, because it only really worked in those countries in which mobile phones genuinely get their own IP address, which one can reach from outside, namely the Netherlands and Australia. And according to IPv6, it'll be everyone. There's a new fashionable sport with WikiLeaks, the leaking documents, whistleblowing is becoming a new trend sport. Tor for Android is in its early phases. It's now working better. Data hygiene 2.0. Data is the garbage problem of information society. Everything that's counted remains. Everything that gets narrated remains. As you know, as you can imagine, everything that's narrated goes. And what's interesting is the parallels that we can draw between data hygiene and real-life hygiene. It's not that important with AIDS, for example. It's not so important how often you had sex with whom, but rather how often those with whom one had sex with others. So parallel to be drawn. As we know, for more than decades, unprotected data relations with frequently changing partners is dangerous.
Just look at the recent studies on this, how you prevent mass epidemics. Very interesting things there, so-called super spreaders. If you inoculate those, that's as good as, just inoculate the super spreaders, and it's as good as unspecifically inoculating 80% of the population and things like that. It's very interesting, very crazy. You do not lie to Google. I always shiver when I read that sentence. There's a shiver down my spine. I read that this year, and this is so incredibly true. It's shocking. You do not lie to Google. The most honest communication these days that happens on the planet these days is that between a person and a search engine. There is no beating about the bush there. You are specific there. There's so much context as you can give. You want an honest answer, right? You will not lie to Google. You won't do that. I don't believe that. So what does that mean about what Google knows about you? What do we conclude from that? You need a lifestyle advisor telling you what to search for in order to not be so conspicuous. Never having Googled for Britney Spears is bad. It's so bad. It's as bad as being on the motorway and always being 10 kilometers per hour under the limit. Say, from the Netherlands to Germany and just under the speed limit. So, from time to time, watch Google Trends and Google those. Doesn't do any damage. Right. And this, of course, is the excuse if you look at someone's shirt's history. I had to Google that for the statistics. You do get interesting results then if you share Amazon accounts, and the results then are so fantastically bizarre. Wasn't there this fantastic title that was really had really bizarre reviews? Tim had that. Suggestions from the audience include the Bible. No, it was something like home networking, and the recommendations you were getting were really crass. Anyway, the new category that we introduce now for the revolution, what do you need and what don't you need? We all know that the revolution is coming. Or we are wearing the Where is the Revolution t-shirt? Sat phones? No. It might be the first thought. I really need a sat phone because... And the answer can only be so that they can find you even quicker, or what? No, no. The conclusion is clearly you have to hide in the noise, hide your traffic in the noise. And that's why it's important to Google Britney Spears every now and then. Now, interesting technology that is on the horizon, browser plugins that connect you to the darknet immediately. Something like Vidalia, but directly in the browser. It would be nice if someone has some research time left. Some HP employees were about to introduce something, I thought, a darknet client for the browser. Did someone see that? Okay, it will come. At the Black Hat? It was just an announcement, though. I didn't read anything about it. If it was actually at the conference. Are the slides there? Okay. Yes, but... the most important tool will always be your mind, your own head. Thinking by yourself makes you clever, right? So media competency, read and write. It's the truth dies first. That was easily seen with those Iran elections. Whom do you follow and whom don't you follow? Who's a sympathizer, who's not? Sympathizers are always the worst. That's what we've experienced in a Hamburg housing dispute. Hafenstraße. The question was, who really burned those cars? So the interesting question is, what can they not switch off? We thought at first something like small bank transfers with messages in them. That's something they cannot switch off. The 1 cent transfers coming back. But then we noticed probably the first step to the revolution is that they actually switch off banking, because it seems to get necessary somehow. So, no 1 cent transfers. We're looking forward to it. But I'm sure we'll have to think about this collectively, because the answers are not the simplest and not those you get first. Let's see. All right. So on that note, we wish you a good new year.
Thank you for listening to the live translated English stream for Security Nightmares, or what we are going to laugh about next year. I was Yankee.
Okay. Okay, well, Frank announces the last event. I'm signing off as well. My name is Sebastian. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Give us some feedback if you want.
And thank you from Echo.